walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on. I say walk on, I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home.
The Poticon Center for Contemplative Walking is breaking new trails in the exploration of walking as a contemplative activity. Our Walk On podcasts introduce the people who are leading this exploration and the people who are doing contemplative walking themselves.
Walk on, walk on, I walk on.
This Walk On podcast introduces you to John Brierley, the author of the guidebook series for most of the routes on the Camino de Santiago. He's a former British surveyor who chose to walk the Camino in his 40s at a time of personal crisis. Since then, he's been walking or writing about it. This podcast is not original, but rather an edit of a video series Brierley did for a Camino company a few years ago. We've remixed the audio to highlight his comments related to the contemplative dimensions of pilgrimage walking. The full video interviews can be viewed on YouTube. John Brierley begins with his own story.
In my 40th year, I had a midlife crisis, a meltdown, a breakdown. Who was I behind the facade I had built as the successful businessman? And I was with my family in a camper van traveling around Europe, and I ended up in a place called Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port and noticed these pilgrims taking off with their scallop shells. That was the first time I came across the idea of the Camino de Santiago as a pilgrim route, and it was to take 2 years before I was actually headed off to walk it by myself, and to have that emptiness to really allow time for new insights to drop in about how my life might take a new direction, what it would look like.
Walk on, walk on, I walk on.
The moment we place our feet on a spiritual path and ask for help, help is always available.
John Brierley, you could be described as the wise old man of the Camino.
Oh, I'd be very happy with that description.
Tell us about the phenomenon. How far back does it go? In your life, it goes back a quarter of a century, I believe. Mm-hmm. But in itself, it goes back how long?
Probably 3,000 or 4,000 years, sort of almost into the prehistory. Because
even before Santiago?
Absolutely. Because, oh, very much so. A great misperception about this. The Camino essentially follows an old route and a pattern that goes back to, that goes to Finisterre. Finisterre, it was the end of the known world. That's where the physical world ended and where it met the world of spirit. So when the sun sank down behind the horizon, it went to Tir na n Og, the land of eternal youth. So Finisterre was the most powerful place of spiritual connection and initiation in the whole world at that time. There at Finisterre was a huge spiritual center, a druidic center. So that's the reason why, almost certainly, I mean, there's so many legends. Of course, we're talking now the legendary preaching of Santiago, of St. James, after Christ was crucified. He took the Iberian Peninsula to graft the new message, Christ's message, onto, if you like, the pagan Iberian Peninsula. You're going to be traveling two paths simultaneously. We have a body which needs to be taken along the route, and it needs to be housed and fed and watered. You've also got a spiritual body, and it needs to be housed and fed and watered and nurtured. And both these things, they're not separate, they're together. It's a simultaneous pathway, both together, and each should be prepared for. Now, the reality is that most of us just stumble out onto the path. We haven't prepared ourselves, and we arrive out with our muscles, physical muscles and our soul muscles are tired and atrophied. That's how most of us arrive. But then, if we're sensible, and we open up to, you know, doing the easing ourselves into the journey, our body, our soul, our mind becomes acclimatized and energized to the root. The moment we place our feet on a spiritual path and ask for help, help is always available.
Walk on, walk on, I walk on.
I think part of the efficacy of the Caminos is that it takes a block of time that we normally don't give to those questions. Life is so busy and frenetic. We usually give it maybe a week or two, you know, the holiday is a classic. But it takes that extra time to really allow not only the insights to drop in from the questions that we're asking, those deeper questions, also time to cement the insights so that we don't lose them. But the Camino itself, over the years, I've been, you know, with the Camino now for a quarter of a century, off and on, it is an incredibly powerful agent for change. Partly for that reason that I say to you, it requires the length of time for change to happen. So it's an incredibly effective, powerful place to put yourself if you're, something in your life isn't going right, and you know that it's not going right, and you want something new to emerge from it. The Camino is a very effective place because not only have you got the block of time reserved out for the change to happen, but also, crucially, you're with other people who are also going through the same process. And along the route, you have people, you have monasteries, you have these albergues, and you have people who are, if you like, their life's purpose and job is to help you and facilitate you, not only your physical body get through the change, because your physical body is changing too, but that whole mental, your emotional, and your spiritual and soul life and forces are changing. And so everybody on the route is there with the skills to help the shift, and so it's a remarkable place for that reason.
Welcome. Walk on, I walk on.
This sort of traveling community that you meet on day one becomes your pilgrim family. You lose some because they walk faster or because they walk slower, but essentially a family builds. And over the weeks, these incredibly powerful, deep, intimate relationships form. I've had a dozen people write to me to say that they've met through reading the guidebook, they recognize themselves in it, and they've married. They've met on the route and married. Others who have formed the... I met one man, a Japanese grandfather, 87, on the route. We made this powerful relationship. He came to visit me many years later, all the way from Japan to Fintan to see me. On a spiritual journey through this life, I came with a spiritual contract. And when I accept that my life is a journey, let's put it simply like that, when I know it's a journey, then whatever comes to me in life is part of my lessons that I need to learn from. So then, instead of, you know, what I would have previously thought of dramas or upsets, they become, now what's this, what has this arrived for in my life to teach me? And so then life itself becomes literally a sort of an exciting adventure. Now what does this mean? This is a new one, wasn't expecting this. And so I start listening for what life is trying to teach me. Then it becomes this incredible, exciting journey, rather than a sort of, stumbling from one crisis to another. Now, there are some times when I forget that, but when I remember it, my life becomes such a joy.
Walk on, walk on, I walk on.
The typical pilgrim changes before they know they are a pilgrim. Most people step out on a pilgrim path like the Camino, not really accepting that they're a pilgrim. Something's happened, it hasn't gone right. There's a drama that's happened that they're grappling with. So they want a great time, they step out onto the path, and what happens then, the moment where they become a pilgrim, is where they start opening up to a bigger part of themselves, a wiser part of themselves, a higher part of themselves, that wise inner guide to say, help. So there's a switch point from going because they're not quite sure, they know something in their life isn't working, to a moment that comes where they say, okay, it's not working, but I can't solve this myself. I need help from a bigger part of me, whether we call that St. James or whatever we call it. And when that openness for new insight to drop in from that higher dimension I mentioned before that wonderful piece from Einstein, that we cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that gave rise to the problem in the first place. When all is said and done, we need a new consciousness. So that's the critical point, opening up to the wisdom that is available when we say, help, I'm lost, I don't know.
Walk on, walk on, I walk on.
The holiday, as an expression, always becomes along the Camino holy days, because you're surrounded by people who are consciously and overtly on a spiritual journeying. You really don't meet holiday makers along this route. You meet people who are, even the skeptics starting out, we've all got something in an aspect of ourselves which we can open up to. This route carries an incredibly powerful energy stream. People have been walking this route for thousands of years, asking deep, meaningful questions.
And that's tangible. You feel that, do you?
It is absolutely firmly embedded in this route. If you can envision 250,000 people every year for thousands of years walking that route, asking these deep, meaningful questions, is incredibly powerful. You don't need to believe in song lines or ley lines, but I tell you, that route is embedded with an incredibly powerful, regenerative, transformative energy.
You've been listening to another Walk On podcast, presented by the Podokan Center for Contemplative Walking. Check out our growing library of videos and podcasts, enjoy our Tumblr photo essays, and visit our Facebook page. All those links can be found on our website at podokan.com. If you have a walking story to share, let us know. We'd love to hear about your experience. I'm Enan Ray Parcello. Thanks for listening, and walk on.